The way to continue our fight now, to accomplish the goals for which we stand, is to take our energy, our passion, our strength, and do all we can to help elect Barack Obama the next president of the United States.
Senator Hillary Clinton, in her concession speech and her endorsement of Senator Barack Obama as the Democratic nominee for president of the United States this past Saturday. Well, what a difference a year makes. Good morning. It's 9 after 6 on Monday, June 9th. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week. So, where did Hillary Clinton's campaign strategy go wrong? How did a clear frontrunner come up short? What needs to happen now to get her supporters to switch their allegiance to Barack Obama? If you are a supporter of Senator Clinton, what will it take to get you to pull the lever for Obama in November? Here are your phone numbers, 800-642-1234, toll-free, 800-642-1234. In Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890. Or you can use email. The email address is talk@wpr.org. My guest this hour is Ed Miller, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and he joins me by telephone. Good morning, professor, and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Well, winning and losing is generally a combination of one side's mistakes and the other side's smart moves. That seems to have been true in this campaign. Give me an example of something that the Clinton campaign did wrong that the Obama forces were able to take advantage of.
Well, you know, if you look at all the both of the campaigns, you know, they both weren't certainly perfect. You can't have perfect campaigns. And Clinton's campaign wasn't bad because she came out, you know, pretty close. She almost won it. I mean, this was one of the closest ones in certainly recent history. But some of the things that you can find in terms of issues were the emphasis on change was really not on her side, you know, to begin with. I mean, so she had that problem going for her because we had two members of the Bush family, and if she was then elected, they would have two Clintons. And this was always brought up, you know, that people wanted change. If you look at Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, even Bill Clinton, all ran on platforms emphasizing their outsider status. And so she had that problem there that she wasn't the outsider. She was trying to emphasize change, but at the same time, experience. One of the main problems that she had, though, in terms of the campaign organization, was the neglect of the caucus states. They didn't put much emphasis on the caucus states, including even Iowa didn't get enough organization. As a result, she did not do well in many of the caucus states. And that was a major problem because Barack Obama racked up a number of delegates in those particular states.
What was the reason for placing less emphasis on the caucus states? I mean, a delegate is a delegate, right?
A delegate is a delegate, but they perceived that the primary states were more important, particularly the large primary states such as Pennsylvania and Ohio and states like that had lots and lots of delegates. Their organization was more geared up to run a campaign that was, you know, like a television kind of campaign rather than more of a grassroots campaign. And if you look at the organization of the two campaigns, you'll find that Barack Obama's campaign was much more oriented to grassroots. Her campaign was much more oriented to more of a media overall strategy and the use of the existing Democratic Party organization. He was outside the existing Democratic Party organization in his own campaign staff.
So it was almost like, and I don't mean this in a pejorative sense, it was almost like Obama's campaign was an insurgency.
Right. I mean, in a way, right, because she was considered the candidate of the establishment. She was considered the candidate of the Democratic Party, and that's exactly right.
Well, if you look at the way the Democratic Party has organized its nominating process, it's almost tailor-made for an insurgency. Isn't it?
Well, yeah. If you can do it, I mean, if you can do that kind of organization, most candidates couldn't have the kind of organization that he had. Even in Wisconsin, for example, everybody noted that, and Wisconsin, of course, had a primary, but that Barack Obama's organization had been set up in primary in Wisconsin weeks before the primary. Hillary Clinton did not come into Wisconsin and even open offices until very shortly before the primary. And a lot of people were questioning in Wisconsin whether she was even going to really compete in Wisconsin because she was spending a lot of time in Texas, which didn't have their primary until a couple weeks later. But if you look just organizationally, this occurred in each of the caucus states. Caucus states are much more difficult because you have to get people out to the caucuses, and you know it's not as easy just to have just to go out and vote.
It requires a lot more boots on the ground, in other words.
Absolutely.
So the it still seems when you think about it, 12 months ago, what the situation was regarding the Democratic nomination, and it really seems. When you look at this, the arc of the last 12 months, it's almost you almost have to shake your head just because everybody had declared this thing over. Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee, and along comes Barack Obama and says, "Wait a minute, I have something to say about that." And a lot of people were really stunned. I want to talk about how that happened and some of the key things, the key points in the campaign, and we'll do that when we come back. I want to invite people to join our conversation. What do you think about this? About what happened with this the Democratic nomination process? If you're a supporter of Senator Clinton, what do you think she might have done differently to get a better outcome? And also if you're a supporter of Senator Clinton, what's it going to take to get you to pull the lever for Obama in November, or are you not going to? We'll talk about that, and we'll take your calls at 800-642-1234 and 263-1890. The email is talk@wpr.org. We'll do that right after we take this time out. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's what's coming up a little later today on the Ideas Network. After 3 on Here on Earth, Gene Faraca talks with a man who was a typically lapsed American Catholic until an unusual quest to connect with his extended family in Italy helped him find his faith. That's after 3 o'clock this afternoon with Gene Faraca here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about the aftermath of the Democratic primaries and caucuses with Senator Clinton suspending her campaign on Saturday and giving a very passionate speech before a large crowd, and endorsing as Senator Obama as she ended her campaign, talking about the things that she had accomplished, and talking very passionately about the things that she believes in. Many people called it one of the best speeches they'd ever heard her give. What we're doing today is kind of a postmortem on the whole campaign from the perspective of what went wrong with the Clinton campaign. And helping me to do that is Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. Here's where you come in. You can call us at 800-642-1234, toll-free. In Madison, please use 263-1890. If you'd like to send us an email, here's the address, talk@wpr.org. Well, before the break, we were, you know, I was talking about the fact that a year ago, you know, nobody would have predicted this outcome, or very few people. Although there may be some who will come out now and say, "Yeah, I told you so," but I haven't heard any of those yet. There's been lots of speculation about what went wrong with the Clinton campaign, and you talked about the focus on the caucus, on the primary states as opposed to the caucus states. What was something else that you thought was a mistake that the Clinton campaign might have made?
Well, one of the problems that they had some disorganization, particularly of staff, and this is particularly after the losses. And that created a gap in the campaign. They were changing staff. They were changing who was her leader. She at first refused to release certain individuals in the staff, and then when after more losses, she did in a rather a cold way. And there's been some questions about how she did it. But anyway, by changing the staff, they lost time. And so if you look at her victories, you'll see that she did pretty poorly in February. This was a strategic month, and this was the Super Tuesday in that area. This is where Barack Obama won quite a number of victories. But if you look after that, after February, she reorganized and she changed her message, and Barack Obama won fewer contests and did so with smaller margins. And so if you look at it, it was very strategic when these victories took place of Obama. And by having those early victories, he noted, I mean, the news media noted him. There were lots of stories about him as a rising star. And so this gave him this kind of push. But she actually pulled in quite a number of contests later on. And that's one of the reasons that she did not pull out, because she saw that she was increasingly gaining delegates as well as winning states, particularly the big states.
Let's go to the phones and take a call first from Tom in Burlington. Tom, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
I view this the campaign as basically being a deadlocked convention. And my strategy for winning the presidency, I'm running for president. My name is Tom Boyle. And we've talked before, Mr. Munson, I believe. But my strategy was, in historically, you let the two main candidates just bash each other to pieces. And the man who was the plan, his name is Peter Nolan. Peter Nolan is an NBC correspondent in Chicago. And he said, Tom, stay out of those races. Don't get in there. Let these two guys bash each other out so one will knock at least one of them out. So now my strategy is to go to the convention and say, in the last 40 years, most presidents have been pro-life presidents. And those are the numbers that are on my side. And how, if the Democrats really want to get into the White House, you have to very seriously consider electing a pro-life Democrat who also, I studied economics at Georgetown University. I was a page in the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives is very different than the Senate. My father was the guy who passed the first civil rights bill in America in 100 years, Charles A. Boyle. And so I know how to run a Congress, or at least I've learned how the Congress works, the House works. And I can say to the two senators, we have had the largest tsunami home foreclosures in the history of the country. It started in 2006. I talked about it on Kathleen Dunn's show in 2006. Where were these guys when everybody was losing their homes? We have lost $6 trillion in home value. We've lost 3 million people have lost their homes. And so that's one of the things we'll look at.
Hang on a second. You said you're talking about a deadlock convention. How's that even possible now?
Statistically, it's a deadlock convention. They want to put a spin on it that it isn't, but it really is. With these superdelegates, they can flip this way or flop that way. If you look at who voted for who in the ballots, it really is basically it's a deadlock convention.
Well, let me get the professor on here. Do we have a deadlock convention or not?
No, we're not going to have a deadlock convention because the increasing number of superdelegates have declared for Obama. And she probably will release her delegates before the convention. And so, therefore, her delegates will vote for Obama. And so, quite clearly, he'll have quite a large margin at the end, much more than it looks like on paper.
We have an email from Tim from Appleton who writes, I agree that there are some problems with Hillary's campaign. However, one of the major reasons she lost is the fact that talking heads, especially those from the far right, have been ragging on her for the last 16 years. 16 years of bad press is a tough obstacle to overcome. She did come into the campaign with some baggage.
She did, and she came in with she came in with negatives. And in the beginning, a number of people didn't think that she would be nominated because even though she had the greatest, certainly, name recognition, they didn't know who at that time. And Obama was not considered, one that they thought of. But they didn't think it would be her because they thought she was not electable. And the reason they thought she was not electable, as the term is because she had so many negatives. Now, she had a large number of percentage that supported her, But on the other hand, other candidates had smaller percentage, but a far smaller number of what they call these negatives. You know, people had negative image of her, going back to the early health care plan, of which was referred to by these correspondents that you mentioned, and they called it Hillary Care, going back there.
Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Harry in Madison. Harry, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning.
Are you running? Are you running for president? I want to get that out of the way first.
I'd love to.
Okay.
Here's what I think. I think we had two superb candidates, and they both made mistakes, but one had to win. It wasn't that. I mean, there are some things about Hillary. There's some basic sexism and racism in this country. And there was Bill Clinton, who was almost impeached. Those were negatives. But Hillary made a fantastic speech this weekend. I almost was sorry I couldn't vote for her. She would have made a good president. But somebody had to win. And Barack Obama ran a very cagey campaign. And he just nosed her out. He didn't win big. He just nosed her out. And as far as voting for a Democrat this season, anybody who doesn't vote for a Democrat is going to be sorry. The next president is going to nominate maybe two or three Supreme Court justices. We want the Patriot Act repealed, and we want environmental policy. And no Republican is going to give us that. We must have a Democrat in the White House.
Thanks, Harry, for those comments. Professor, two great candidates. Somebody had to lose. That's about the size of it.
That's the, that's a known. Somebody's got to lose eventually. Could have gone to the convention. But even if it went to the convention, you know, somebody is going to get, the larger number of votes. They didn't want to go to the convention. I mean, we haven't elected a president, you know, through multiple ballots in the convention since the 1950s.
I kind of miss those days.
But in fact, I mean, the conventions are not even considered that important anymore. For a while, you know, it was covered by the news media, covered gavel to gavel. Now they cover it periodically.
Well, there used to actually be something going on. I mean, the candidates would show up, and there was still a lot of smoke filled back rooms and cigar smoking party operatives making decisions about who would do what and wheeling and dealing. There was a lot more intrigue. There was quite a bit more interest in conventions. The way things are set up now, the conventions don't get much coverage at all, as you pointed out.
Right, and then you know there were other issues too. If you remember, particularly in 1960s and even into the 70s, there were issues of seating delegates from the South, you know, which ones do they seat, the traditional Democratic Party or the new Democratic Party in the South. And so the credentials committees were fights, and there were fights in the platform committee. But
that's what we like here in the media, lots of conflict. That's
it's all gone.
That's what pays the bills. Okay, well, we're going to take a break for some news, and then when we come back, we'll pick up the discussion. And what I'd like to focus on in the next half hour is what the Democrats have to do now to pull themselves together, and what can Hillary Clinton do to help Obama collect her supporters? Stay tuned. We'll have more right after the news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now, I understand that we all know this has been a tough fight, but the Democratic Party is a family. And now it's time to restore the ties that bind us together and to come together around the ideals we share, the values we cherish, and the country we love. We may have started on separate journeys, but today our paths have merged, and we're all heading toward the same destination, united and more ready than ever to win in November and to turn our country around because so much is at stake.
Senator Hillary Clinton in her concession speech on Saturday talking about the need to unify the Democratic Party and win in November. Well, Mrs. Clinton enjoyed strong support from blue-collar workers and older women, two areas where Senator Obama appears to have some problems. And so one of the questions we want to ask in this portion of our program this morning is what can the Democrats do to capture those Clinton voters for Obama in November? Good morning. It's 6:37. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine today on the Ideas Network. My guest this hour is Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point, and he joins us by phone. We're talking sort of a post-mortem of the Clinton campaign. And in this segment, we want to turn our attention to what's it going to take to get Senator Clinton's supporters to support Senator Obama. And first of all, Professor, what's your take on what's required now to get Senator Clinton's voters to turn around and vote for Obama? She did point out it was a hard-fought campaign, and I, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but there were a lot of pretty hard body blows exchanged on both sides.
Right, and as you pointed out, that it was essentially demographic, the division between the candidates, except in Wisconsin. Wisconsin was a strange state in terms of its voting. It differed from the other states. Blue collar workers, for example, supported Obama rather than Clinton, the larger number of them, and so forth. But that was not true, certainly in Pennsylvania and Ohio and in those areas. It will take a lot. It will have to be certainly emphasis on issues. The argument will have to be, look, you know, it's important that you vote Democratic, and here are the reasons that is important. So he will have to come back quite clearly with regard to issues and convince these voters that he is better than McCain would be. In terms of getting some of these voters out, that would be very important. I mean, they may not vote for McCain, but they may not turn out. So getting a higher turnout. Now, he's got some advantage in turnout, as you can see in the primaries. He significantly increased turnout among young people and certainly among African Americans. And so in terms of turnout, he has an advantage there. But whether he's going to lose some of the other groups is an interesting question. Some will vote for McCain, while others will may not vote. Even though polls right now are really pretty early, I mean, you know, you take them with a grain of salt at this stage of the campaign. But it is interesting that the polls are either showing them equal. Some polls are now showing Obama a little bit ahead. That would be it's very unusual, because if you look at views of the Democratic and Republican parties, given the problems of higher prices of gas and the economy and the war, the fact is that it is a Democratic year. Quite clearly that the voters are favoring the Democrats, and I think the legislature is going to remain increasingly in Democratic hands in terms of the House and the Senate. But you look at the president, you find that they're virtually tied at this stage, and that illustrates some of the weaknesses that Obama may have in that he starts off with in the general election campaign.
Well, we know in broadcasting that the plural of anecdote is not data, there have been a lot of sound bites from some of the more passionate Senator Clinton supporters. We've had some on Wisconsin Public Radio who've basically said, I supported Hillary, but I refuse to support Senator Obama, and I'm going to vote for McCain in the fall. How much of that do you think is the fact that because they were so passionate about Hillary, right now they need a chance to process what happened and really give some thought to what they're going to do? And a follow-up to that is how relevant are polls that we take today?
Well, polls are certainly early today. I mean, you know, even if they're accurate, the campaign, you know, for the presidency hasn't even really started in terms of the general election. I mean, obviously, we've been in a continuing campaign. But so the contrast, the direct contrast between McCain and Obama has not been stressed, because it's been Clinton, Obama, and then before that, more candidates in the race. And so I think the contrast will be clearer as it goes, and I think the polls will then change in that direction. Obama will pick up some from vote. Given historical circumstances, no party has ever won the presidency when they've had such low opinion polls of the current administration of either the person running for re-election or their party. in that area. And so this is why Obama, although on the other hand, you know, he's an African American, which introduces this issue of race, which is a certainly unique feature in our presidential campaign.
Here's an email from Steve in Madison, who had called in but couldn't stick around. Many people said that the long primary was a bad thing for Democrats. I disagree because it was a chance for Obama to prove himself, especially in states with a Republican stronghold. Do you believe the long primary helped or hurt the Democrats?
Well, that's a hard one to say, but I mean, it's very possible. Some people are agreeing with Steve that it's not as detrimental. Especially in this year. However, some studies have shown, not necessarily in presidential areas, but in like senatorial contests, when there's a very strong primary, there's a tendency for that candidate that comes out of the primary to lose because they can't unite the party.
Well, in those cases, isn't the primary generally much closer to the general election than what we see in the presidential primaries?
That is absolutely true.
So you'd have a September primary after a bloody fight, and then you've got a month and a half, basically, to get yourself together if you're lucky.
Right, exactly, and there's not enough time. But in this case, I think that probably will, I think Clinton's supporters, at least in terms of saying, gee, he beat my candidate, I'm not going to vote for him, I think there's going to be only a small amount of that. But whether they are not as mobilized by Obama, you know, is another story. They may not want to come out and vote for Obama. They may not vote for McCain. Although weird things occur in the election where individuals have voted. The famous one, of course, is the one in New Hampshire, where a number of people who had voted for McCarthy in the primary election in New Hampshire, you know, going way back, wound up voting for Wallace in the general election. And that is very, very hard to understand, except that their idea was change. In matter of fact, even back then. And so both, even though obviously McCarthy, Eugene McCarthy, not Wisconsin's McCarthy, but McCarthy was very liberal, and certainly Wallace was on the other side of the ideological spectrum. That wasn't the real issue. It was just simply change. And if you understand it from that, you understand the voters' behavior.
Well, poor Hubert Humphrey, I mean, he was basically tagged with being a Lyndon Johnson light. That was his misfortune to be attached to a very unpopular administration. And we can certainly talk about that. That seems to be one way that the Democrats are trying to frame the issues now in terms of their approach to Senator McCain, talking about if he was elected, it would be Bush's third term, things like that. And we can talk about that a little later. I want to invite some callers to join us. And particularly, I would like to hear from people who supported Senator Clinton. What did you think of her concession speech? What are you going to do in the fall if you've had a chance to process this at all? What can Senator Obama do? What should Senator Clinton do to help you to vote for the Democratic nominee in November? 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. 800-642-1234. In Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890. Or you can send an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 647, you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week. Coming up at 7 o'clock, or after 7, in the State Capitol Report, it's a look at the Janesville GM plant closing. And I'll have two state lawmakers on with me to examine the impact in Janesville and talk about economic development and job creation around the state of Wisconsin. That's after 7 this morning, so stay tuned for that. This hour, we're talking about the suspension of the Clinton campaign, her speech on Saturday where she conceded and then urged her supporters to follow Senator Obama in November and to vote for him and to unify the Democratic Party. And we're talking about what went wrong, maybe what went right, and who did what. But this, in particular, this in this segment of the program, I want to hear from people who supported Senator Clinton. And what can Senator Obama do to win you over? What should Senator Clinton do to help you to vote for Senator Obama? And my guest joining me by phone is Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. We have people on the phones. We better get to them. Let's go first to Stephanie in Madison. Stephanie, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I voted for Clinton in the primary. I was very excited to be voting for a woman, and she's very, very intelligent. But as the campaign progressed, I became an Obama supporter simply because I felt that he really conducted himself in a very honorable way. I didn't like how Clinton conducted herself. I felt like she was being very petty in a lot of ways, whereas Obama kept to the issues. I think if he continues conducting himself the way he is and not lowering himself to cheap shots, and petty squabbling with McCain, I think that will impress a lot of people because, for me, integrity is very important, and how someone conducts themselves is very important in terms of whether I would like to see that person become president.
Stephanie, thanks for that. Professor?
And what Stephanie said was exactly correct, because what happened in the campaign, one of the change in messages was that she became much more negative to particularly Obama, and one of the reasons she did become negative to Obama, because the polls were showing, they use these tracking polls, and the tracking polls were showing that that was effective. And in questioning his experience and the like, rather than just simply extolling her experience and the issues is what she started out doing. And so they were following the polls on that.
Let's take a call next from Benny in Delafield. Benny, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John. Good morning. My opinion on this is I would like Obama to take Hillary for a vice president. I don't know if they'll be able to get along, but the main reason is if he doesn't, I don't think I'm going to vote. This would be the first time since I was 21 years old I didn't vote. I definitely will not vote for McCain. One of the reasons I really would like Hillary as a vice president. She could help with the Social Security business. I don't believe that Obama can do it by himself. Of course, we need the congressman and the Senate. But it's really getting close to being privatized. Bush has really pushed a lot of stuff through that isn't going to help us. I'm 66 almost, and I just believe that it would work better if she was there with him. I hope they would work together.
Okay, Betty, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I don't think Benny has to worry about his Social Security, but he may have to worry about his Medicare in terms of actuarial soundness. But in terms of the campaign, the fact is that he could take her, but some people are saying that if he took her, there's some negatives in doing that. One, it looks like he's been pushed to take her. He loses a very strong figure in the Senate. And she would be an important figure in the Senate coming, not only she is now, but just coming out of the campaign and giving a strong national. She will be a national force, especially with Kennedy having receded in the Senate because of his medical problems. And so, you know, that's important. Bill comes along with her, and there's some questions about whether, you know, that would be like a third wheel, you know, what would role of Bill will be. Also, the issue has come up is that if she becomes a vice presidential candidate, Bill is going to have to release some material in terms of contributors to the library and some of the groups that he's been working for, which he's been very reluctant to do. But if he releases them, that's a whole, and he may very, you know, not be unwilling to do that, but that's a whole ball of wax of controversy that may then take place.
Rosemary in Green Bay is next. Rosemary, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Hillary Clinton, I think she's remarkable. I've thought she's remarkable for a lot of years, but on Saturday she reached her pinnacle. I thought her speech was extremely well delivered. The message was excellent, and I just think that there's no person in her position that could have ever done anything in expressing herself and in encouraging her followers to follow, to support her former opponent, and to support her former opponent herself.
Rosemary, thanks for that. Before, Professor, you respond to that, we have an email that kind of is on the same theme, and I'd like you to respond to both of them because we're starting to get short of time. This is from Mary in Madison. To unify the party, Mary believes that Hillary needs to throw her wholehearted, unambiguous support to Obama. Hillary gave a pretty speech over the weekend, but now she needs to back it up with action. She needs to end the mixed messages that simply fuel the anger of her disappointed supporters. So a couple of people talking about the great speech on Saturday, but what's coming next is going to have to be a little more substantive.
Right, and I think she will quite clearly support him, whether she's the vice presidential candidate. Certainly she would if she's on the ticket, or if she's is not, and she will be a leader in the Senate. That will be important, too, or get a cabinet position, although she may be more useful in the Senate.
Well, if she's ever thinking about running for president again, she would probably have more exposure as a senator than as a vice president. Let's go to Martel in Gurnee, Illinois. Martel, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you letting me be on the air. I just want to say that I don't necessarily think that the Clinton supporters were just diehard Clinton. Like myself, I thought both candidates were pretty good. I had my preference for Senator Clinton. However, as the campaign progressed, I felt that she became more negative and she really lost her professional tact, so to speak. I don't feel that Obama should pick her as the vice president. You know, I seen an ad ran by McCain, the Republican Party, and it featured John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, and Bill Clinton. And after that, how could she possibly even come up with the notion that they can come together as supporters when the Republicans are clearly using her words against her?
Thanks for the call, Martel. What about it, though? Those and negative campaign ads, those make great sound bites for John McCain.
Quite clearly, that is absolutely true, and that's what they're doing. And there's certain groups that actually that the Republicans are now going after. For example, the Jewish voters, who had supported or a large number of them had supported Clinton, and so they're going after those individuals by misrepresenting actually the position of Obama and trying to get. Now they're not going to win a majority of those, quite clearly, but they're trying to get it down to the situation that existed at Jimmy Carter. Where Jimmy Carter only pulled in 1980 against Reagan only 60%, which is an historic low, a modern historical low in terms of the Democratic Party. And if they can peel off that number, they may be able to win some states like New Jersey and the like. It's a small number of people, but you add that to others, such as certainly the working class white males, which tend to be vote Republican, which is strange in terms of any economic interest.
Well, and Hillary Clinton got those voters to vote for her in Ohio, and we saw it again in Pennsylvania and West Virginia again and again. The white male blue collar voter was turning out for Hillary Clinton. What can she say to them that will get them to give their allegiance to Senator Obama, if anything?
Right, relative to the two candidates, they were turning out for him. But when if you poll these or you look at past elections, the white working class males have been voting Republicans, and if you put them head to head against both either Obama or Clinton, they both lose the group.
So we just have about a minute and a half left here to kind of wrap things up. From your perspective, this campaign, did Obama win it or did Clinton lose it?
I think Obama won it. I think Clinton did make some mistakes, but I think actually Obama's superior, particularly organizing skills, his oratorial skills, and the fact that he was somebody new rather than somebody who's been around Washington, I think all contributed to his ultimate win.
Will he be able to translate those same methods into the general election with as much success, do you think?
He will, but the question is, you know, these other groups and whether he's able to pull these other groups. I think he'll keep his group. I think he's going to get a substantial amount of Clinton group. It is a Democratic year, but there are questions that are raised, for example, the Latinos, race in general. Those groups in particular, the question is whether that will be a factor. Race, nobody knows. Some people suggest that it's anywhere between 10 and 20% will not vote for him because he's African-American.
Professor Miller, we have to go. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're my pleasure.
Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. This program we had on-air production help this morning from Michelle Kofel, and Rob Ferret produced this program. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week. And a reminder, you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.